No one's got a song tonight or today. Open your Bibles if you would. I know it's not tonight. Chris keeps reminding me. It's not Monday morning either. Okay. Open your Bibles to Titus chapter 3. She talks about me. I got up this morning about 5:30 and I said, "What time you want me to wake you up?" She said, "I've got something to do before I go to school." I said, "I know, but for church." She said, "Well, I've got to do something for school." I said, "It's church day. You're not going to school today." It took a while, but she finally got through. So it must be something in our house. I don't know what it is. Okay. Titus chapter 3. I do want you to listen just a few moments. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I want to spend time on something very, very important. I want you to get the gist of this truth. Everybody here in the whole world is in one of two spiritual states. You either are spiritually dead or spiritually alive. And to be spiritually dead, you were born in the womb spiritually dead. David said in Psalms that he was born in his womb, came out of the womb speaking iniquity. Somebody said, "Well, them precious little babies haven't sinned. It's their nature. They have the sinful nature inherited from Adam. By one man, sin entered into the world. Every one of us has received that." Isaiah also says that in the womb, again, that we have that sin. So this morning, I want you to understand, you were born with a sinful nature. Amen. You were born spiritually dead. You will not just someday develop into spiritual life. There has to be an event takes place in your life. Now listen to me. I'm going to tell you a truth that a lot of people doesn't tell you. It's not an event that you can create on your own. It's an act of God. And if God is not drawing you, you can't be saved. The Bible calls it regeneration. Regeneration is to be brought to life from something that's dead. In Ezekiel was given a vision of dry bones. God said, "Speak to the bones." When he spoke to the bones, the Spirit of God came, the wind came, and the Spirit blew upon them, and they stood up and they had life. They were regenerated. Whenever Lazarus was dead in the grave, wrapped up in burial cloths, Jesus told him, "Roll the stone away." He spoke, and Lazarus was regenerated. Life brought from death. Jesus walking saw a widow in Nain, weeping over her son, stopped the funeral. Spoke to the young man, dead, being carried on the shoulders of others. And he sat up. He was given life from death. An act of God, only God can do. And so what I want you to understand is, this morning, I want you to understand the seriousness of letting your day pass. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart.
Amen.
Just because you hear his voice today doesn't mean you're going to hear it down the road. Sometimes Jesus would pass by. I think of that song, Blind Bartimaeus, that you and Adam used to sing. And I was thinking about that and how, had he not called out when he had an opportunity, Jesus may have never passed that way again. This morning, it may be that Jesus is passing by, knocking on your heart's door. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. I've had people tell me, preacher, I'm going to live my life, and when I get ready to die, I'm going to make things right with God. You are not the authority to make that happen. You cannot bring life to yourself. Brother Sisson was talking about it, and I shared a couple of thoughts as well. I've been by many a bedside and watched people weep and die and go out into eternity, knowing they were going to hell, and telling me that they never felt the Spirit of God ever drawing them anymore. But there was a time in their life when Jesus knocked on their door. You say, but the Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. But he also says that they cannot come unless he draws them. That's why when you feel the drawing of God, sometimes you have me to talk to you young ones. These young kids, they ask me, they get concerned about their salvation. And you say, preacher, why don't you just bring them down here and just talk to them, have them pray a prayer and do those things and go through the motions, and you can get them to do that. I can. But I believe this. If a child is old enough to be saved, he's old enough to respond to the Holy Spirit of God drawing him to come.
Amen.
And when the Holy Spirit of God's drawing him and he feels the presence of God drawing strong enough, he'll come on his own.
That's right. That's good.
And if he's not got to the point where he feels the drawing of God to bring him down, then all my pleading and drawings and so forth cannot get the job done. I can bring any child down here and make them say anything I want to say. They can say that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross. He rose again third day. I can get them to say it all. But there's a difference between getting him come and make a profession and being regenerated. Look in your Bibles in Titus chapter 3. Stay with me this morning. I want to share with you a thought about regeneration. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes, what? Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and what? Hating one another. You know who we hate most when we're not saved? You say, oh, I didn't hate God. Jesus said, the world hates me, and they're going to hate you too. Why does the world hate him? Because he's truth. And when you're in your flesh and in your sinful nature, you don't like to be told the truth. And therefore, you don't like anyone telling you the truth. It goes against your nature. Look in verse 4. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of what? Righteousness, which we have done. By the way, a lot of people think that they're going to flip over a new leaf, come to church, turn over a new leaf, quit some bad habit, start doing this, be baptized, join the church, do something, and it's going to get you to heaven. Not by any works of righteousness which we have done. Nothing you can do to bring about regeneration in your life. It is an impossibility. The Bible says a carnal man, the carnal mind, is enmity with God. That means the way you think before you get saved, you are an enemy of God. You're against God. You think opposite of God. You're contrary to God. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his what?
Mercy,
he what? Saved us how? By the washing, we'll get back to that word washing, of what? and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. We're going to talk about both of those in a minute. Which he has shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That being justified by his what?
Grace.
Grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, two problems you have when you're spiritually dead. Let me show you those two problems. Look in your Bibles, keep your finger right here, and turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. In John chapter number 3, a guy named Nicodemus comes along, and Jesus tells him the necessity of being born again. Being born again is being regenerated by the Spirit of God. Then he goes on in verse 4 through 9. He tells him and tries to explain how he can understand what being born again is. Not being born through your mother's womb, but you will feel something, and there will be something like the wind. The Holy Spirit of God will just blow on you. It'll come to you. You'll feel his presence. You'll feel his drawing. And he'll be pleading with you, and he'll be convicting you of your sinful condition, and he'll draw you. You can't tell where it comes from. You can't tell where it goes. But anybody here who's ever been regenerated has felt it sometime in your life. You felt it the day that you were saved. Look on. Not only that, but also in verses 9 through 18, he begins to tell his requirement of how to get born again. That it takes believing upon the name Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 16 through 18, and those that believe not is condemned. Those that believe is not condemned, but those that believe not is condemned already. But I want you to look in verse number 19. Two problems we have. One is when we're unregenerated, we're not willing to come to God. Look, if you would, in verse number 19. And this is condemnation. Let's back up a little bit. Verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be what? He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved what?
Darkness
rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So first of all, I want you to understand, now listen to me, you're here and you're not saved, you're spiritually dead. You can't come to God. You don't want to come to God. Every one of us, when we got convicted by God, we sat back there and we fought that conviction. Every one of us was scared. We began to realize what would happen if we didn't get saved. The Holy Ghost of God convicted us of our sin and showed us we were sinners and showed us that Jesus died for our sins, and he began to draw us. And we, every one, had a battle. We had to choose. Some of us held on to the pew a few moments. We fought that battle. But then we decided to step out. And when we stepped out, how glad we were when we did. But we would not have ever came by ourselves. The reason why we came is we came by the drawing of the Holy Spirit. He drew our hearts to come. He convicted us. Now look back and notice here that the Bible says here that they would not come because their deeds were evil. They loved what they were doing. Look, if you would, over in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, real quickly. Romans chapter 3. Notice, if you will, in verse number 10. As it is written, there is what? None righteous, no, not one. Not a one of you can stand up and say you're righteous. There's none good. No, not one. He reminds them of that. But look on, if you would, at verse number 11. There is none that what? Understand it. There is none that what? He said, listen. You left to yourself, you can't even come to God. You're not going to seek God. That nature inside of you don't want you seeking God. You say, oh, preacher, boy, I was just seeking God everywhere before I got saved. No, you wasn't. You wasn't until the Holy Spirit of God began to deal with you about it. You know why? Because what happened is this. It's not in our nature just to seek God on its own. There's none that's righteous. There's none that seeks God. There's none that understands. The natural man cannot discern the things of the Spirit. Now, so number one, if you're spiritually dead, you'll never come to God on your own. Number two, look if you would in John chapter 6. I've done quoted this a time or two, but I want you to read it for yourself. John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, look if you would in verse number 44. No man, now who's, what does that mean? It means no man. No man can what? Come to me. He said, no man can come to me except what? The Father which has sent me what? And then I will raise him up at the last day. In other words, he said, now listen. Don't think that you're some kind of unusual person, that because you're so good, and you're better than somebody down the road or somebody better than somebody sitting in this church, that God's going to save you because of your goodness. Or that God's going to have mercy upon you because of your goodness, that you're not as bad as somebody else. There's none good, no, not one. And nobody's going to come to God. Nobody can come to God. And you can't come to God unless he draws them. So the second thing is, not only will you not come, you can't come unless he draws you. Now, you say, why do you all get so impassioned sometimes in invitation when you feel God dealing with somebody's heart? Because you never know if that person ever feel the tug of God again on their heart. Now, you say, well, preacher, that sounds like it's impossible for those of us to be saved. How can we be brought to God? Look in your Bibles just a moment again in Matthew chapter number 19. Matthew chapter 19. Going to do a little bit of reading right here before I close. I'm going to tie it all in a little bit. Look if you would in chapter 19. All y'all know the story about the rich young ruler, but read with me if you would. Brother Junior didn't know I was going to read this, but I'm going to read the very verse he dealt with this morning. But look if you would in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep his commandments. And he saith unto him, which? And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, but if you notice, Jesus didn't mention the very last one, thou shalt not covet. And notice what he says. If thou wilt be perfect, and by the way, if you're going to go to heaven, you got to be perfect. Go and sell that which thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away what? Because he had what? Great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now watch the next two verses. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly what? Amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is what? But with God, what? Listen to me. Salvation is strictly by God. It is impossible for you to save yourself. Is it impossible for you to be saved when you want to? Because you won't come to God, you can't come to God. And so therefore, if you think sometime that I'm just going to get saved when I want to get saved, I'm going to do what I want to do, and whenever I get ready, I'm going to get... As a matter of fact, I had a good friend of mine tell me that 2 weeks before I picked him up dead on the side of the road from a motorcycle wreck. He told me, he said, I'm 31 years old. I've got a lot of living to do, but someday I want to change my heart. Someday I want to be saved. Someday I want to be like you. But he said, I tell you what, right now I'm enjoying life. I'm young. I got a lot of things yet I want to do. He said, but someday when I get a little older, I plan on getting my heart right with God. 2 weeks later, I was straddling him in a ditch line right beside Pulaski County High School, smelling alcohol coming up. He went to Richmond, got drunk, and working on a motorcycle, took driving it, and come down and lost control of it, hit a guide wire, took his arm and shoulder off, and his lung was hanging out. He was dead right there beside the Pulaski County High School. You know what kept ringing in my ears? Someday I'm going to get myself right. And as I was working on him, I just hear this. In hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. By his own profession, he told me, he said he wasn't saved. I went to his funeral, and there was probably 100 people that never entered in church any other time that was there at the funeral. You know what the guy said behind the pulpit? He was an example for all you to follow. He's up in heaven right now playing his guitar. Got his arm back. He was an example for all of you to follow. You know what they left thinking? I can live my life just like that and I can go to heaven too. I'm here to tell you, you're either spiritually dead or you're spiritually alive. You cannot become alive unless you are born again.
Amen.
You have to be regenerated. Only, you say, well, preacher, it's impossible for man to do that. Yes, but what's impossible with man is possible with God. God has ability to save you. You say, I don't understand. The Bible says by the washing of regeneration. The word washing means a cleansing, a bathing. He's not talking about water. People try to say that's baptism. Let me show you a couple of verses before I close, but I want you to see this so I can tie it all in. Look, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Somebody else read, I believe, did you read that this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 6? I think you did, didn't you? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look, if you would. First Corinthians chapter 6, notice if you would, in verse number 9. Or it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be ye not deceived, neither fornicators, adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are what? Washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Look, if you would, in Revelation chapter 1, real quickly. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Somebody said, well, what are we washed with? The washing of regeneration. How was we saved? How was we brought to life? What did he wash us to make us regenerated? Look, if you would, in verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and what? Washed us from what? From our sins. And how? You know how God is possible for God to save you? He washes you by regeneration. And the renewing of the Holy Spirit, that means changing your thoughts, changing you. You become a new creature. when this washing takes place. You say, well, what's my part? I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I'm just going to say this. It's like a coin. I don't think I've got one in my pocket. But a coin's got heads and tails. Somebody turn real quickly to Acts 20, 21. This is the last verse I'm going to read. Somebody turn to Acts 20, 21. Read that for me, if you would. A coin has heads and tails. Two sides. If I take that coin and throw it in the water, I throw both sides in. Wherever one side goes, the other side goes. You say, well, preacher, how in the world can a person get saved? Somebody found that verse, want to read it for me? Who will read it for me? Acts 20, 21. Go ahead, Brother Greg. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You must believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The two-sided coin that you have to do to be saved. There was a time when it man's ignorance, God winked at, but now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You have to repent unto God. That means that you recognize yourself as a sinner before God and you repent. You repent of your sins, you repent to God, and so forth, and you come and you repent from yourself, and you realize you can't do it yourself. You got to turn to God, and therefore you repent because you're a sinner. Then, on the other side of the coin, you have faith in Christ Jesus. You believe upon his faith and his work upon cross Calvary. When he died, buried, and rose again, you believe he did that for your sins, and you believe that he's a savior of the world, and you believe that only through him can you be saved, only through him can you go to God, and it's a two-sided coin. You can't have one with the other. You can't throw one side of the coin in the water and not throw the other. You can't come to God unless you have both sides of the coin. And the moments you come to him, you have repentance and you have belief. Faith, and it works together. And there he said, you got to have repentance unto God and faith in Christ Jesus. And it's a two-sided coin. But look here. Get this minute. This morning, if you're here and you're not saved, and the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart, and you sit there and you felt like every word was said right to you. Now, just the other day in chapel, you don't mind me sharing this, do you, Dylan? Just the other day in chapel. Now, I noticed a couple times in messages, I'd preach and I'd notice Dylan was hanging on every word I'd say. The other day in chapel, he was listening. And I watched, he didn't know I was watching him. But he was watching, he was listening every word I said. We got through preaching. And we give an invitation. He come pouring out of that aisle, fell upon the altar, crying out to God. I was so glad to see that. You know what happened? God knocked on his door. He says, come. Now he had a choice. But at that point, he turned from himself and he turned to the Lord. And he come down, he fell up on the altar and he asked the Lord to save him. Today, if you're here and God is drawing you to come. And when he's drawing you and speaking to you, you can't help and get away from the Word of God because it cuts you like a knife. And you feel like everybody in the whole place is looking right at you because it feels like every word that was said was coming right at you. And God is drawing you to come. And today you know it's day that you could step out and be saved. The world and all that is telling you, put it off. Wait. But God says today, come. That's when you can be saved. When his Spirit is drawing you. Today, if you are hearing his voice, harden not your heart. I'm so glad that tonight, when he spoke to me, I stepped out and came. When he did, when I did, I was washed with the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit of God, because I put my faith in him and I turned from myself.
Right.
Are you here this morning and need to come? God drawing you. Would you come as we stand, Brother Porter?
Page 85.
How about this morning? Would you come? You know, if there's one person here that needs to come, it's more important than anything else going on in this, on your day, anything else going on in your life. But today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, would you come?